This is an interview for the Shoe Workers Oral History Project at the Museum LA. The date is January 29th, 2010, and this is Andrea Lumpier. Today I'm interviewing Conrad Duchette. Conrad, could you start just by spelling your full name?
C-O-N-R-A-D for Conrad. Duchette is D-U-C-H-E-T-T-E.
And where and when were you born?
I was born in Lewiston back in 1951.
And did you grow up in this area?
Yes, I did.
You did. What were your parents' names?
Cecile Duchette. She's from Canada. My father's Luigi Duchette from Lewiston.
And how does he spell his first name?
L-E-G.
Yeah.
L-E-D-G-D-G-E-R.
Okay. And so your mother came from Canada as a young girl or with her parents or as she was, do you remember that far back?
Not really, as far as that
but
goes.
But she was born in Canada.
Yes, she was, yeah.
And your dad was born here in Lewiston?
Yes, he was, yeah.
So, what did your parents do for work?
She used to work in one of the shoe shops. It's called Knapp Shoe back then.
Yep.
And they used to make shirts in there, from what I understand, making shirts out of that building back years ago.
Right.
And that's when she was working at that point, doing that. So I can remember what she had told me.
Right.
Yeah.
And what did your father do?
He used to be a railroad. We used to work at a railroad station.
Did he have stories about that?
He never told me anything about what he had done or anything. No. He just told me that part. He used to work at the railroad station. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So, what was it like to grow up in Lewiston in the 50s and the 60s?
We stayed in Lewiston for about until the age of, I believe it was 10 or 11 years old. Then we moved from there to Turner. And that's where I was pretty much stayed for the rest of that time until I grew up and got out of school, left school. Came in Lewiston, found a job.
Well, Turner must have been, well, it still is fairly rural. Was it even more so then? It felt like you were really out in the country?
It was, you know, we had a dirt road back then.
Yeah.
And we just had hardly any people would go by on our street with how many cars would go up that way, with how many any buildings at all on the street at all whatsoever. It was very, very low key, more or less.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. My father was married twice, so wasn't my mother, so the total of us was 25.
25?
Yeah.
Wow.
14 girls in the first marriage and one boy. And 10 of us in the second marriage, we had 5 boys and 5 girls.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you had many, many sisters.
Yeah. We did.
So you've sort of had your own community just at home.
We were busy, tell you that, yeah.
See, I came from just having one brother. Can you talk to me about what it was like to be in such a big family in terms of meals and chores?
Oh, meals. We had. She used to make pots for food, you know, for us to eat on. She would make bread. She'd make her own bread. My father was involved with that as well, you know, getting things, you know, done for us. Yeah.
And what did you do for like social activities?
We played games. We just abused ourselves. You know,
go
outside. We didn't have much because we were poor. We just played outside in the summertime, you know, whatever we could, you know, whatever we wanted to do to play outside, we could amuse ourselves. We'd go up in the trees and run after each other and play hide and go seeks and stuff like that, you know, to amuse ourselves. And,
So what led you to?
And we also had a guide in the summertime. So we would help get the water from the brook, drag it up home, and you know, do our guides for summer, so we had some food and something to eat from it to help us out in that end.
So you were expected to contribute to
growing
the garden.
cutting the wood for the winter, you know, and driving it home, and splitting it, cutting wood lengths for the winter, and you know, stacking it, getting it dry for the winter. So.
So what led you to go to the shoe industry?
Well, when I got out of school, I was getting to a point, I was 18 years old at that point. So I knew I needed a job. I didn't want to, you know, stay home and do anything. Job and go on my own pretty much. So that's what I was thinking of at that point. So I came to Lewiston and then I finally got a job at Bill and Shoe as my first job.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got enough money from that job, I finally got a car, got my license. And then from there I went to Hanadori. I stayed there for probably about 6 months or so. Then I went to LNA Heal, stayed there for about 7 or 8 months, I'm guessing, about in that area. Then after that, I met my wife, got married, had my little daughter, Lucille, left the LA Heel area, came to Falcon, and this is where I've been ever since, for 4 years.
40 years. Yeah. Now, did you always do the same work, or did you change what you did in the shoe industry?
In this shoe industry here, I started in the molding department, running the molding machine, learning how to cement as well. I was doing different odd jobs, cementing, roughing, whatever it may be to get me going, to get the work done, to keep the factory going. Once I started doing that, they were having troubles with the machines as far as keeping them running without calling somebody from United Shoe in Boston to come and repair them. So I was watching how they were doing that, and they had problems, and I was picking up a lot of things that they weren't aware of that I caught on, that they saw that I could do. And that's when it took off from there, and I started being on maintenance, and repairing machines, and doing all of that to keep them running. They saw what I could do. I came on board on the fourth floor. Bob Odette was the boss back then, and he told me, you can do this. So that's when it took off from that point.
Oh, neat. And now, who was Papa Odette?
Bob Odette.
Bob Odette.
Yeah. He was a plant supervisor back then. Yeah.
So talk to me about the work that you've done here for 40 years. What does it entail? It's
electrical work. You do electrical work that needs to be done. It needs to be moved machines and rewire it, you know, and move it to different every wiring. And once that was all done, we set the machines in place, of course, where they had to have it. Moving the factory, you know, from one point to the other to get it to where it sort of, so the floor would work the way it's supposed to flow.
Right.
Because right now it's just a mess, it's everywhere. They're always forever shifting machines around, breaking them down to a different location, do the same thing all over again, you know, plumbing.
Right. And yeah. So having somebody on site that worked for you that could do all those things.
Which was very handy for them, yeah. Yes, that's for sure. Yeah.
Right. And so then in the day to day stuff, there's always something
breaking down to be repaired. Yeah. You need to be right there when they need you, you know. Whenever that's broken down, you're fixing that one. Something else is breaking down as well. So once you've done that one, you have to go to the next one and get it going. So keep the factory flowing the way it's supposed to flow and keep things going. Yeah.
And has the technology changed over the years so much that you've needed retraining or new training, or have you just gone with the flow?
We went with the flow. We learned that as the machine would break down, you'd get involved in it and try to figure it out and see what's going on. If you needed questions, if you couldn't figure it out, you'd call the agent up in Boston and they would guide you through to try to look at certain things. And once we'd done that, we were able to do so up to a point. And when we couldn't figure it out, we had to call the agent to come in to help us out on that and to get it going. Yeah.
So can you tell me any stories that you have over the years? I mean, 40 years is a long time.
Working for Ted Johansson and Bruce Hanley, they were the best people.
Yeah, in what ways?
Many ways. Puppet sharing plant, one thing. Helping the southern man. I'm going to stop this.
I understand that, you know, the profit sharing plan, like you just mentioned, was a really good thing. I've talked to several, you know, quite a few people about Ted Johansson and Bruce Hanley and how they made the shop feel like a family.
They did.
A lot of
they did, yes, they did.
And this place is still going when so many
it
have closed.
It is. That's right. Right now there's about 60 people in the building right now that we've got here all together.
Yeah.
And we're making fire boots now versus small children's shoes back then.
Right.
And, you know, shoes as well for the men's. And we also took over Nap Shoe at one point, brought them over here. Once they were closing, we brought them out, brought them over, and got them started over here. And that brought our production up to do
right.
something different other than just, you know, children's shoes back then as well, within
yeah.
the welts, that process as well too. So that worked out good for us too at that point. Yeah.
Now, you've been around for many years in the shoe industry in Lewiston. You've seen all these other shops close.
Yeah.
And you've probably had friends who work here and there and everywhere. Could you talk about what that was like when it started to decline?
Well, it was scary, you know, seeing all these places shutting down. We were just hanging in there at that point as well, too, trying to make things happen and keep busy as far as that goes. Keep the orders to come in, and we had to keep shifting over from one style to another to get the production that we needed to get out for all the shoes that were selling at that point. And that's what kept us alive, do different types of work as it's called for us to do to get it done to make it happen. A lot of shifting, different machines, different, you know, styles that had to be made. to keep us alive.
Yeah.
Keep us going. Yeah.
Find a little, specific
yeah,
area.
Yeah, little niche there to keep going. That worked right for us. Still is today.
Did you find that some of your friends who were at other shops, that they were able to find other work? What types of things did they, were they able to transfer their skills to something else, or did they have to retrain?
They had to retrain at different jobs, at different locations, wherever they could find that they're able to actually do, you know. In the shoe shops, there isn't much to do as far as working on shoes. That's all you learn as you grew up, pretty much. And they wouldn't know other trades out there at the moment when they could have done something else, but they didn't have the training to do so until they were trained to, you know, do something different. And that's the hardest part, learning something new again, going back to school to learn, you know, that you need your GED today, high school diploma, you know, stuff like this to get by, to get a new job. Because a lot of factories will not, new buildings, which is factories, will not hire you unless you have your GED. Versus back then it was a lot easier to get in a building to do something.
And how has Lewiston changed in all these years? With the change, you know, the mills closed and the shoe shops closed. I understand it was a very vibrant downtown, probably, in the early years that you were here.
I don't know all that much about what happened in that part of
life. Right, but did you see change? I mean, did you, your family used to ever come into Lewiston to shop every
Well, we
so
did,
often?
We did, of course we did that. We came to go shopping and, you know, done that every week. Like we're supposed to and stuff, and to get the food in the house and all that. But as far as Lisbon Street changed quite a bit compared to back then, there's all kinds of bars and stores in that street compared to what it is today. It's like a little, how can I say it? It's what I want to use, I'm trying to think of the word to use. Like it's kind of somewhat like a ghost town compared to what it used to be back then.
Right, it was filled with people walking.
Oh, definitely, filled right up, yeah.
Now, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think is important to add in terms of your work or the shoe shop community?
I think you hit pretty much everything at this point, yeah. That I can think of anything. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.